I'm Liz Carter, a science communicator from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place where community members, friends, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Rampart.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student, my science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
This mini-series is an interview-style show that explores the life and career thus far of Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy's climate specialist, Rick Toman. During these four episodes, we will examine how Rick found his way to Alaska, how his career has grown and changed over the last 40 years, some major impacts and successes, and how his career can teach others about how to best work within Alaskan communities. In this final episode, I hope to examine what makes Rick such a successful scientist and science communicator, especially in the context of Alaska, in hopes that others are able to learn from such a successful career. So, Rick, what are some things that you would consider essential to being able to effectively work throughout Alaska?
So one of the aspects of my work with the Weather Service in particular, to some extent also with ACAP, but especially with the Weather Service, is that through that job, I was able to visit large chunks of Alaska that I would never have gotten to see. And there is nothing like, you know, seeing a place with your own eyes. It conveys so much information. And I think that has helped to shape and inform the work that I do, because they're not just places on a map, or nowadays they're not just pictures on social media, but they're more real in my mind because I've been there. Not everywhere, of course, but to many places. It viscerally reinforces what, you know, you already know, that Alaska's a vast place, and North Slope communities are completely different than, South Central communities. And so having that feel, again, has helped to inform what I see as the critical importance of localizing, regionalizing weather and climate information, whether it's what's happening now or adaptation planning in the future, seeing the diversity of communities. That diversity includes the people and the physical setting, the infrastructure that communities have. Was and continues to be critical.
Are there other aspects of working with the Weather Service first, starting with an agency job, that have been particularly useful in transitioning into a more academic role at ACAP?
Because my experience, because my skill set is very different than an academic career track, say. I think that by itself is a benefit for what ACAP has always tried to do, which is can be broadly put into this the boundary spanning aspect of work, bringing many experts together from different fields, and operational weather forecasting and climate services at the operational level. Seems to me to be a natural part of that function of ACAP. In some sense, I got lucky in the way that at that time in the late 2010s, there was a significant push within some groups within IARC to see the value in bringing people with long agency experience.
And are there any practical tasks you've incorporated into your work that you found have helped you be successful?
I think one of my successes in working in rural Alaska is being available when people want me. And so that means one of the things that I need to do to be able to respond to media inquiries on very short notice is basically to keep what might be called situational awareness. What's happening? what's been happening. So part of my daily workflow, I often do this, you know, right after I get up and I'm working on my first cup of coffee, you know, what's going on with the weather today around the state? Because I work statewide, you know, I can't just look at Nome. I'm just going to look at Fairbanks. Really have to keep up that situational awareness all around the state. And so that definitely informs my daily workflow in the sense that I'm aware that, you know, I could get a call from someone and I want to be able to provide them with the information that they want in the time frame that they need it.
What does the day-to-day look like for you in your work these days?
So my standard elevator pitch is, so I spend a lot of time working in that translator space between Western climate science and what do people, organizations, tribes need for that, with a special but not exclusive focus in Northern and Western Alaska. So that involves everything from climate monitoring. What's happening now? How unusual is this warm January? Being an authoritative voice for that kind of thing. Listening to what folks need, and then, okay, is there anything that we can help people with here? Sea ice is the big example of that, where sea ice is so important in Northern and Western Alaska. What's happening with the sea ice, what's going to happen with the sea ice, in many ways is much more important than, will the temperature be above or below normal? Sea ice is where it's at. Having said that, I think at this point in my career, I have to acknowledge that an important role I am playing now is being basically this subject matter expert on climate change in Alaska. Because what do I do with my time? I spend a lot of time preparing and giving presentations about some aspect of our changing environment. That's an important thing, I think, from the ACAP perspective, from the IARC perspective, because, you know, it's helping every presentation, I hope, is building that that ACAP and IARC and UAF are a source of trusted information, of reliable, authoritative information.
Trust is something that has come up a lot throughout our talks. How did you build trust through your work?
Being there, showing up, listening, sharing, knowing what's appropriate, what's not, being able to acknowledge when you screw up. Nobody expects anyone to be perfect, but being able to apologize in a sincere fashion is important. And then there's the one that's the hardest, I think, especially in this, the kind of work that I do, is time. There is no way to compress a decade into a 3-day visit. And I think that's the hardest thing, and that's maybe why I'm most successful, because although I didn't necessarily plan it in 1988 when I got off the plane in Nome, or in 1990 when I moved to Fairbanks, having just the time that elapses and still being there, still showing up, still being respectful, matters a lot. And I think that is really the hardest thing in modern society to do. I think a lot of people have very good intentions. They really want to do right, and they do right. But to get to the next level requires the passage of time and doing those things through that time. Doesn't mean you have to be out there every day for 20 years, but you can't fall off the radar and then hop back in and expect that things will be just the way they were.
And what have been some practical ways you've maintained that trust over time?
With the media, especially in rural Alaska, it's often very short timelines. You know, there isn't the luxury of, I'm producing this piece and, you know, it's going to air in 3 weeks kind of thing. You know, I'm producing this piece because we're flooding right now in Kotzebue at levels that no one has ever seen before. What can you tell me? Kind of thing. And so so it is important to be available and to be able to the extent possible to be able to speak knowledgeably. And the flooding in Kotzebue coinciding with travel, being able to know when to say, I cannot make this work right now, is important, because part of the problem, part of the challenge of being a trusted authoritative source is it takes a long time to build that up, and it's easy to blow it up if you get something really wrong. And I don't mean you relay a forecast that doesn't work out. You give factually wrong information can hurt that authoritative status very quickly. So it's much better to say, I don't know, I can't help you right now. If you need help, if you need this right now, here's a place to go. I can call you back in X hours. That knowing how to do that and when to do that is an important skill set.
What has been your inspiration in continuing to serve Alaskan communities?
Certainly a big influence on my life, of course, was my midlife crisis when I could have bought a hot rod car, but instead I pursued graduate work in Athabascan, now Dene, linguistics. And so that was very important to me in shaping my appreciation of Alaska indigenous culture, which I had, you know, started, you know, from the hours I got off the plane in Nome. But that really, really brought that home, spending many hours, in my case, with elders in the Token Tana Cross areas, and helping to document the Tana Cross Dene language, and you know, getting invited to potlatches is a non-trivial honor, and I'm very grateful that I got to do that. I have a treasured pair of moccasins that Tana Cross Elder Laura Sanford made for me, and they're nicely beaded, and I've only ever worn them once or twice. I don't want to soil them, but they're a treasured gift, and that whole experience has continues to shape my life every day.
Are there any moments that stick out so far in your career as highlighting this relationship you've built with rural communities?
So one of the most vivid experiences for me, and again, very, very impactful in the way I think about it, do things, 2000, fall of 2019, I think I was with ACAP. I had gone to Nome for my, what's turned into an annual October trip, and Gay Sheffield, the Sea Grant agent in Nome and UAF faculty, had arranged for one-on-one community calls with the tribal councils on St. Lawrence Island, Shishmaref, Diomede, just to talk about sea ice. This was following the two terrible, terrible years of sea ice, and people were very, very conscious of ice and concerned about ice. And that was really powerful to me to be able to do those. And I don't think I'm breaking any confidence when I say that that Gay Sheffield really impressed upon me that, you know, Gamble Tribal Council wants to talk to you. That is not something they do with everyone. That's a big deal. And so that, you know, that kind of message just reinforces my desire to serve people in Alaska. So that certainly stands out. Certainly some of the, you know, some of the work that I've done with ACAP has been a big deal. I'm last year I got to give a keynote at Alaska Forum on the Environment. That was a big deal to me. That's a big gathering. That's an important gathering in the state. I feel like I've made a difference in a positive way. And that's a good feeling when you're in your 60s. And I'm not there yet, but, you know, most of my career is behind me. And to think that I've made a positive difference is an important feeling for me.
And as we wrap up this mini-series, what can we expect to see from you moving forward?
Well, I'm going to keep giving presentations, right, and talking about environmental change in Alaska with the goal to help people to understand what's happening and to adapt to what's happening. Any projects that especially that help to capture some of my lived experiences and before, to make that information available to now and in the future is a big deal, and that's why our extreme events project that we started a couple years ago is so important to me, because it agencies make available information from the past that is, I think, immediately relevant, and it brings it together in a way that that for many people, they wouldn't otherwise ever come to it. It's all discoverable in the sense that we discovered it, so somebody else could discover it. But it's a hard process. So I'm particularly interested in moving forward with any projects that help to make information like that more readily available to folks, with the hope and the expectation that that will help inform decisions about the future for Alaskan communities.
Alaska Voices is a place for communities to connect through conversation. This mini-series was created by Liz Carter, an Alaska Fellow at the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy. ACAP is housed at the University of Alaska Fairbanks International Arctic Research Center and is one of several Climate Adaptation Partnerships teams funded by the NOAA Climate Program Office. ACAP works to build healthy and thriving Alaska communities, economies, and ecosystems in a changing climate. This project was supported by the Alaska Voices team. If you're interested in more conversations or information, please visit alaskavoices.org.